Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Kurt Schlichter joins us, and so does Andy Biggs. And we ask the question, are you ready to lose the House? What is your risk tolerance for losing the U.S. House of Representatives? Currently, my appetite for a big gamble is zero. By the end of the episode, you know exactly what I mean. Get involved with Turning Point USA by coming to America Fest. Candace Owens, Kaylee McEnany, Tucker Carlson, and more. AMFEST.com in Phoenix, Arizona, December 17, December 18, December 19, December 20. Get your tickets today. It's just about a week and a half away. Get your tickets. AMFEST.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. Joining us now, someone I have a great deal of respect for. I think I agree on every single major policy topic with. However, I do have some current concerns that I hope we can work out here about the strategy for the selection of Speaker of the House. Andy Biggs joins us right now from Arizona. Andy, welcome to the program. The floor is yours. Tell us, what is your perspective and the strategy and the plan going into 1-3, which is where you will be participating in selecting a Speaker of the House?
Yeah, Charlie, what's going to happen is Kevin McCarthy doesn't have the votes now. He's not going to get them by January 3rd. He's going to offer up anything he can think of to try to get those votes. And then on January 3rd, he won't get the votes. And then we'll move into conference and we will find a more consensus, a convivial candidate that we can support. And we'll go out and elect them to be Speaker of the House. That's the short end of it. That's the short way of explaining it.
Okay. So, but who would that person potentially be? I know you and I talked about this privately, but a major concern I have is that sounds like it's going to be a circus.
Well, Charlie, I'm not afraid of a circus, and I don't think you are either. And I'm also not afraid of a little bit of chaos to get this all cleared out and get somebody who's not an establishment type candidate. I'll give you some names that I think that might actually might work. So my name's in the mix, okay? But you also have people like a Jim Jordan. You have a person like Mike Johnson of Louisiana. You have several other people. You might even have somebody come forward. Maybe Steve Scalise says, well, it should be me. You actually have people in a conference, Charlie, who are very, very accomplished. Now, you have maybe not everybody's as accomplished as others, but there are some who are tremendous leaders, tremendously accomplished, who have reflect the conservative conscience or the conservative center of the Republican conference. And they would be available. They would come through. They probably, some of them aren't going to actually even put their name out there, would never even think of putting their name out there unless it's demonstrated to them that Kevin doesn't really have the votes.
So I think the fear that some people have, I certainly do, is that we barely won the House, 4 seats. Why are we playing with metaphorical nuclear weaponry right now, right? Doesn't it make sense just to get concessions? Because there's a lot of power, right, in the Freedom Caucus right now, the 4-5 majority. Yeah. To put this into conference for an unnamed person, what if Bacon, I don't know if Bacon is telling the truth or not, right? Some people say he's bluffing. He said he might caucus with Democrats. But it opens up a possibility of us potentially, albeit I don't know if it's 1%, 10%, 20%, where moderate Republicans and Democrats create a uniparty Congress and we effectively lose the majority.
No, I see, Charlie, here's where you and I fundamentally disagree. I do not believe that's a realistic scenario at all. So let's just, so people have said, well, we're going to get a Democrat or Kevin's going to make a deal with a Democrat. So let's take that scenario first. That's not going to happen. Who is their leader? The Democrats just elected Hakeem Jeffries, a leftist to be their leader. Now, Hakeem and I have actually worked together on legislation. So we have points of agreement. But the one point that we don't have is the overall path to go forward. He got elected because the Congressional Black Caucus supports him. They are going to burn the place down if any Democrat were to walk over and say, I'm going to support Kevin McCarthy. That just will not happen. So that scenario is out the window. So the next question you have to say is, well, would Republicans then walk over and say, well, let me elect Hakeem Jeffries? And not even Don Bacon is going to do that. There is no Republican who's going to walk over and do that. So the real question is, who will emerge to be a viable consensus candidate where people like Don Bacon and Andy Biggs can come together and say, you know what, we have 15 or 20 things that we agree on. We may not agree on another 20 things, but we can get a candidate who's going to bring us together on those 20 things. And they're not going to be an establishment candidate. Now, here's the deal. That's a much more realistic scenario, quite frankly, than either of the scare scenarios that are out there that the McCarthy team is putting out there because they're trying to scare people into voting
for them. Well, but I think there is some reasonable fear, at least that I have, that we didn't really win very much this cycle, as much as we should have. And there is a risk to kind of just saying, hey, might be a little chaos, might be a circus, we're going to go into conference. The McCarthy team would say, but there's 100 people that won't budge for anybody other, whatever it might number might be, 40, 50, 60, 70, 100. And so in that kind of private conference, walk our audience through what you think that ideal looks like. Let's pretend, for example, there's 50 McCarthy loyalists that will not budge for anybody but Kevin. I mean, a stalemate with no speaker. Walk us through that.
Yeah, well, first of all, do you really think that those people are locked into Kevin McCarthy because they think that Kevin McCarthy is the only guy who could be Speaker of the House? And I don't think they are. I think they might feel beholden to Kevin McCarthy because Kevin McCarthy has funded their campaigns. But you have an equal number of people who say, well, you know, Kevin McCarthy and his group that he raised money for was against me. So when we get to a conference and you've had 1, 2, 3 ballots that have proven that Kevin McCarthy doesn't have the votes to be speaker, you're going to get somebody like, and I hate to put a target on anybody's back, which is why I haven't done it, because that's why some people who have approached me, they don't want to do it because they aren't sure that everybody holds.
No, I'm not trying to put a Kevin McCarthy. You know me. I'm not trying to put a
target.
You see
what I'm saying?
I'm not trying to put a target. I want a plan, right? I mean, you know.
Yeah, what happens is if you go into a conference and people are going to be mad. And they're going to be bringing pressure to bear. And when Kevin says, hey, okay, I don't have the votes, or people see he doesn't have the votes, then some of those people who've come to me privately and said they're interested, they're going to stand up and say, Kevin doesn't have the votes. Maybe I can be that candidate that's consensus. That's the way it works, Charlie. It doesn't work where somebody goes in and says, oh, hey, I'll stand up, except for a knucklehead like me who'll go out and say, I'll stand up and I'll run against Kevin. Why? Because I'm a conservative. I'm a true blue conservative, true red conservative in this case. And I have a track record that's proven both when I was in the state Senate in Arizona and led that for 4 years and know what it's like to deal with people on all across the spectrum and get a lot of things done. That's what'll happen. You're going to see people who are kind of, they don't want to step on Kevin's toes because there's going to be retribution. And if you don't think there's retribution, you should see what's happening to me from the McCarthy machine. And so it comes after me, Charlie. So they're smart enough to say, we'll go ahead and let Biggs do it. He's Mikey on the old Life commercials. We'll let Biggs do it. And if Biggs can't get there and McCarthy doesn't get there, which McCarthy won't get there, then we'll get there. Then we'll have a consensus candidate. And let me ask you this question, though, Charlie. Why doesn't Kevin say, I don't have the votes now? Let's see if we can find someone who has consensus. Because believe me, it's more than just the five of us that have publicly said no. I happen to know that there are people who have told him in private interviews with him that they are not going to vote for him.
Yeah, and so I guess the counter argument would be Pelosi looked like she was 20 votes down, and deals are cut and things are done, right? It's still early. But I suppose Yeah. My conflict.
The best deal to cut, Charlie, is not on December 6th. The best deal, if you're going to ever cut a deal on this, which I'm not interested in, but if you're ever going to cut a deal, it's on January 2nd. And by the way, you probably get an even better deal on the evening of January 3rd after he doesn't make it through that in that first ballot.
The concern I have, I know we're short on time, and you got to go, is. This is the highest stakes game we have right now. It's the only chamber of federal power that we're going to be able to enjoy. And I still think from a calculation standpoint, it makes more sense to try to get concessions and to try to get on committees than to try to just say someone could emerge. And I know we're out of time, Andy. We're just the risk reward. Even if there's a 1% chance of failure, we could lose a whole branch of government. Because go ahead, please.
I have to be able to respond to that, Charlie.
Yes.
And the way I would respond to it is this. If you cannot trust the guy you're making a deal with, because he has said specifically, we're not going to give you the motion to vacate. In other words, you can't hold him accountable. If you can't hold that guy accountable.
Explain what that is really quick. I haven't detailed that. What is the motion?
Yeah, you have to be able to remove him as speaker if he doesn't deliver on his promises. And so if he says that's off the table, you can never replace me. So he's going to promise you the world. He doesn't have to deliver on anything. Then what have you gained? No matter what he says, Charlie. And the reality is he's a creature of the establishment. He's been there for 8 years. I'd encourage everybody to look at the Daniel Horowitz article from yesterday. It details all of the things where he went and made deals with the Democrats instead of Republicans. And I would suggest to you that when you can't trust someone, he can't really be your leader. And that's what people are asking me to do. Trust this guy. Oh, he's going to promise you everything, but he doesn't want to be held accountable if he blows that off.
My risk tolerance is almost nothing right now after what happened in the midterms. But Andy, you're a good friend, and we'll have you on again soon. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks, Charlie. Take care, man.
You know, it's almost 2023 and nothing's really changed, has it? The year's ending and now things are more expensive than they were at the start. We all love Christmas season, but it's not too great if you can't afford all the things around you, are they? Now, it's just the beginning of what looks to be a very bad and long and really tough recession. But it's not too late to avoid the same thing happening again. Thousands of people have retired comfortably with the help of Noble Gold Investments and their precious metal IRAs. If you've been a hesitant investor, but one of the handful of Americans who can go for gold and silver, now is the time to act. Talk to an expert member of the team today. If you get in before the end of this month, you'll bag an incredible 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with every qualified IRA of $20,000 or above. You can't go wrong with Noble Gold Investments. Call the team now at 877-646-5347 to find out more or visit noblegoldinvestments.com. That is noblegoldinvestments.com. I think this is a fair email. Charlie, I love you, but to be honest, your risk tolerance is exactly how we got to uniparty leadership positions. We need to stand now and take charge. These establishment people cannot be trusted and will never end until we stop it. I think that's fair. Somebody says, Charlie, admit it. They said, admit it, I think Andy Biggs is right. And I said, and I responded to the email. I said, I'm very risk averse right now. I'm going to build out the argument, and obviously you guys can disagree. We're getting tons of emails, freedom@charliekirk.com. So here's another one, right? Someone said, Charlie, I typically agree with you and err on the side of caution, but I think Biggs is right. If McCarthy is setting himself up and able to lead without a check on power, we'll have another 2016 House. And I responded, I'm in a very risk aversion position right now. I think you can see why. And the person responded, totally understandable. Losing the House would be horrible. At the same time, will a McCarthy-led House bring about positive change? I'm suspicious it will speed up at the best deterioration of our country. We need to turn around, not a slowdown. Okay. So let me build out my current position, which admittedly, I will fully acknowledge, is a reaction to not winning enough or basically winning nothing in November. My current position is one of a defensive, take what you have while you have it, and then try to get the most you possibly can out of it. I fully acknowledge that. I also think it's fair and important to say that Kevin McCarthy is not Paul Ryan. Kevin McCarthy is not Jim Jordan, but he is not Paul Ryan. That is a fact. So what do I mean by risk aversion? Okay. So my fear is if Andy Biggs is correct and it goes to the House of Representatives, so the whole House votes, okay? So it goes to the floor of the House of Representatives on the 3rd of January. And on the floor of the House of Representatives, they can nominate people for Speaker. Hakeem Jeffries, Kevin McCarthy, Paul Ryan. And if a candidate does not get 218 votes, it could be a member or a non-member, then they will go into recess. And they're going to go back into committee. So all the Republicans are going to meet together and all the Democrats are going to meet together. Of which Andy Biggs has said, we're going to find a consensus candidate at that period of time. And my response is, I hope and maybe. You see, there are moderate members of the Republican Party that are saying that they very well might go caucus with Democrats to find a unified speaker with unified time. And by the way, that has happened multiple times in state houses in recent history, multiple times. In fact, I had our team research it. For example, in Pennsylvania, 2007, minority party. They couldn't find a consensus speaker. Democrats became Speaker of the House. New Jersey, minority party speaker just recently. North Carolina, co-speakers. So they had a Democrat speaker and a Republican speaker. Alaska, Democrat majority coalition present. In 2021, Luis Stutes was elected Speaker of the House by a bipartisan, primarily Democrat coalition, even though Republicans won a majority in the House. And by the way, the same people that were the architects of the minority party becoming speaker are now the ones pushing for this in D.C. So what am I saying? I'm not making a full-throated defense of Kevin McCarthy, so don't misunderstand me. What I am saying is, what is your current risk tolerance to lose the House by procedural means? My risk tolerance, given the ambush in Arizona, the Senate probably not going to be in our hands, and best case scenario, Herschel wins tonight, it's 50-50, is making me take a step back and say, I'm not exactly big into taking risks right now. Maybe you are. We're getting a lot of emails, and you say, Charlie, we need a warrior speaker, whatever it takes. Okay, then you must entertain the risk that some moderate Republicans might co-caucus with Democrats. I fully acknowledge that this is a very complicated issue. Someone says here, Charlie, you are a coward. How dare you support Kevin McCarthy for speaker? I want to be very clear. That is not the argument I'm making. I'm saying under the circumstances of which we won so little, my desire to gamble has diminished. Okay. So there's a fair amount of emails saying I'm incorrect on this, and that's perfectly fine. I do think it's important, if you are willing to go lay a major wager and to take a risk, then to explain how confident you are in that process that we will get a better speaker, or B, not just a better speaker, but a conservative speaker. Now you might say, well, Charlie, of course it'll be better. Okay, hold on a second. In 2017, the equivalent of the Freedom Caucus decided to X out Kevin McCarthy. And do you know some of the very same people that are pushing for this right now said, we need Paul Ryan, we need Paul Ryan, we need Paul Ryan, we need Paul Ryan. How did that work out? So sometimes some of these rebellion campaigns can sometimes bear fruit that we are not always comfortable with. Someone says, sir, you can't be more wrong. Sorry to say, this is how they get to scare you. McCarthy is Paul Ryan light. By your logic, then nothing will change. Talk is very cheap. Just look at his actions. McCarthy is punishing Mr. Biggs. I'm a lot older than you, and so is Mr. Gibbs. Not a crack on you, but that's where experience takes place. No, McCarthy, don't fall for establishment rhino tricks. Okay, George, that's perfectly respectable. And I do appreciate the dialogue and the emails. I will just close with this, and we'll talk, and then we're going to invite Kurt Schlichter, is my stomach for high stakes gambling risk, of which the House of Representatives is at stake, is zero. If you are okay with going into caucus without a speaker, you have to acknowledge that there will be a persuasive, well-funded, and aggressive campaign from the Uniparty that very well could lose us the House of Representatives. That is not fear-mongering. That is a fact. I'm not willing to play that high-stakes wager right now. Maybe you are. Look, offers for free iPhones are usually and typically too good to be true. Just like freedom itself, nothing is free. Mobile phone companies not only lock you into long-term contracts, but they also build the price of the phone into your bill with hidden fees. With Patriot Mobile, they can show you how to get the same iPhone interest-free and without the games with no contract. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They offer nationwide coverage on the best 4G and 5G networks because they use the same towers as the major carriers. So you get the same great service while supporting a company that's fighting to preserve your God-given rights and freedoms. Patriot Mobile also offers a performance guarantee. If you're not happy with your coverage, you can switch to either of the three major carriers that they provide for free. Go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie. I know the team at Patriot Mobile. I think the world of them. Glenn, the whole team there, they're amazing. They were just at our Turning Point USA event. Love them. Go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call their 100% U.S.-based customer support team at 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation today with the offer code CHARLIE. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie. If you're fed up with woke companies that don't care about your values or your country, support a company that does. patriotmobile.com/Charlie. patriotmobile.com/Charlie. Joining us now is Kurt Schlichter, one of my favorite guests on the program. Kurt, welcome to the program. Kurt, I first want to get your thoughts on the RNC race. Do you think it's time for a new chair of the RNC?
It's absolutely time for a new chair, Charlie. Rona McDaniel has a legacy of failure. She failed in 2018. She failed in 2020. She failed in a 2020 runoff. She failed in 2022. She could very well fail today in Georgia. Though, if you are in Georgia, go out there and do your best to make it 1-4 for Rona McDaniel. I ran a Twitter poll yesterday, unscientific, but of course, science is what brought you masks and vaccines that don't work. 5,992 people voted. I asked, who would you like to see as the RNC chair? Would you like to see Rona do it again? Would you like to see Harmeet Dhillon, Mike Lindell, Lee Zeldin, who's been talked about? Rona got 0.6%. That is a statistical anomaly that's actually mind-blowing. It's almost impossible to get 99.4% of Americans to agree on anything, even like how bad Nickelback is or Rage Against the Machine, how terrible they are. You can't even get 99.64 on that. But 99.4% of Republican-based voters, my core Twitter audience, said hell no to more years of Rona McDaniel's failure. So, Charlie, that's kind of an indicator there. And yet the Republican Party seems like the 168th high poobahs may actually decide to choose a person the base holds in more contempt than monkeypox. Monkeypox is literally more popular than Rona McDaniel among the Republican base.
So probably time for a change.
I think that's a fair statement. I think when you have failure after failure after failure, maybe you ought to, I don't know, try success.
So I try to be very fair before I do these segments. Kurt, important. You're a lawyer. You've always had to argue both sides. What would be the argument for Rona, who's a very sweet person, but what could she say has been her success? I just mean that really sweetly and honestly, if you had to make the best case argument.
Great point. It's always important to make the best argument you can for the other side. Rona McDaniel can say, well, we really did kind of win in 2022. We just didn't beat our expectations, or the expectations one might objectively draw from the correlation of facts and history and trends that should have said red tsunami in 2022. We got the House back. That's a whole other issue. I'm sure we'll touch on that.
Yes.
Let's see. Rona is an inoffensive person. She's good with donors. There's no evidence that she's stealing the money to go to strip bars like people were doing under Michael Steele. So she's not as bad as Michael Steele, the MSNBC Republican who was RNC chairman and trashes us all the time. So that, as far as I can tell, is probably the best argument that we have. I see no evidence that she's reformed the ballot collecting system that Republicans need to master. I don't see that she has energized the base. I don't see that she has managed to get us great candidates who do nothing but win. I think the case for is much weaker than the case for let's try something new. Somebody like Harmeet Dhillon, who has a great track record, who understands the mechanics of elections and the and law, and who's great in the media, and who is someone who understands how to massage clients like her, like me. I am also a Los Angeles lawyer. She's a San Francisco lawyer. We go out and, you know, we get clients and we work with them and we get them to write us checks. That's a very important part of the job. And I think she's able to do that. So I say, let's give her a shot.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the 2018 midterms. Okay. Didn't go great. No. 2020 didn't go great.
No.
And then we lost the Georgia runoff and we have a Georgia runoff tonight. We'll see, but it's not looking great. We'll see.
And it is not.
We barely won the House. We lost the Senate. We should have won the Senate.
Yes.
Governor candidates that should have won did not win. Did not. And so it is the Republican Party. It's not like she's just running some super PAC, right? That raises hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yes.
And so you could be really sweet about it and fair because I do think she's a nice person. She spoke at Turning Point events. Her kids were always like big fans of Turning Point. So this is not like some sort of personal
crusade. Done nothing personal.
Right?
Never met the lady. And I think it's trashy to attack her because of who her relatives are. She should be judged on her own merits, which is what I'm doing, and it's not working out well.
And so in any other business, if you start from a place where you control, basically your mission is in control. So when she took over, the House, the Senate, the presidency was in control. And now two of them are Democrat occupied. One barely. You got to say, okay, this is not exactly working. And so the House is barely won. You kind of might have heard some of my thoughts there, Kurt. Feel free to totally disagree. I'm just saying my personal position is my appetite for high risk, high stake gambling has evaporated. What is your thought?
No, I heard your monologue, and I agree with you. Look, I'm a military guy and a lawyer. I don't have the luxury of emotion. I have to look at the objective facts, and I have to execute in a manner that is most likely bring about success. I think the most likely course to success is replacing Rona McDaniel, because I don't think we're risking anything by getting rid of her. Kevin McCarthy. I would prefer a different guy be in charge than Kevin McCarthy. But who is that guy? What is the name of the person who can do a better job? It's the same argument with McConnell, who also drives me up the wall more than McCarthy does. Who's the guy who can put in the Senate? Who's the guy who can put together a coalition that runs all the way from Susan Collins to J.D. Vance? McConnell does it consistently. McCarthy is the only guy out there who seems to have a chance of doing the job. And it is a high wire act. You're absolutely correct. At some point, you have to dig in and you have to defend before you go on the offensive again. We need to defend. We need to gather our strength in the House get a Republican speaker and not allow some scam where the Democrats aligning with a few soft Republicans.
Yep. And they're already working the ropes on that. I hope everyone knows.
Speaker.
No, and people say, oh, that's not going to happen. They're already working the ropes. I listed example, Alaska, New Jersey, there are states across the country where North Carolina, where the minority became the speaker because the majority could not select a speaker, and they peel away a couple people and they have a moderate speaker. Now, you might say, oh, Charlie, that's not going to happen. There is a risk of that, period, okay? And I think it would be a tragedy for us to lose the one chamber that we won in this midterms on process. And
it would be disastrous for the conservative side, because the conservative side would cause it. Here's what needs to happen. McCarthy needs to sit down with the Freedom Caucus guys, compromise on some of the powers and rules, and they need to make a deal. Make a deal. Get it done. Andy Biggs, I like you. Get it done. McCarthy, you wouldn't listen to me, but you need to get it done too. You all need to sit down and get it done. I'm tired of the nonsense. Compromise among ourselves to bring in the win. I don't care if you don't like each other. Your personal feelings mean nothing to me. Get it done. This is the bottom line, Charlie. Out in the real world, there's something called accountability. Now, you can trace almost every problem in our society back to the lack of accountability. Okay? Rona McDaniel, she didn't cut it. She needs to be held accountable. Okay? McCarthy and the rest of you, if you don't get it done, you'll need to be held accountable.
So, Kurt, people are not feeling great about what's going to happen in Georgia tonight. I think that should be more of a mandate to make changes with the RNC. Is that correct? If that ends up happening.
Absolutely. Look, accountability is important. I don't care about you leaders of the Republican Party as people. I'm utterly indifferent to that. I'm totally unsentimental. You might be nice people, and I like parties and stuff, but I expect you to get the job done. Rona hasn't got the job done. And now I'm sure she has a lot of reasons why she didn't. But I'm a military guy, Charlie. A commander is responsible for everything his unit does or doesn't do. For 5,000 years, mankind has fought wars with that basic principle in mind. And it's done okay. Holding people to account without listening to excuses is the key, is one of the keys to success. I don't want to hear about the problems. I hired you to solve them. And that's another important thing, Charlie. You, me, everybody listening to this, we're the one hiring the next RNC chairman. We're the ones who knock on doors, who walk the precincts, who write the checks, or at least the small checks. And we are the ones they should be answering to, not vice versa. And the idea that 99.4% of the base can be against Rona McDaniel and 168 people voting for the chairperson can say, well, we don't really care about that. We're gonna vote for our pal. That's everything wrong with the Republican Party. Why don't we start doing things right?
We also did our own poll here with 17,000 votes, Kurt. Rona McDaniel has 2% in our poll.
Wow.
So,
man, you got a soft electorate there. That's twice as many as in mine. Now, look, I don't want to dump on Rona McDaniel. I'm sure she has other ways she can contribute. But I think we've established that chairperson of the RNC is not her highest and best use in support of conservative ideals. It's nothing personal. You know, in World War II, a general had about a month to succeed. He had about 30 days to show that he could fight the Germans or the Japanese and win. And if he wasn't cutting it, nothing personal, you're out. You're going back to Mississippi. You're going to run a recruit depot where you can contribute. We're going to put somebody else in who can make it happen. It's not personal. And, you know, the idea that they would make it personal is a dodge to escape accountability. There's one question. Have you won? And that's the only question that matters.
That's right. I don't know, understand why that's so difficult for people to understand. We are opening up the RNC process on the show, though. We're going to talk about who the members are, where their tilts are. You know, Kurt, I think that's important that we bring this from the shadows into light. We've never seen an RNC race like this where someone goes on cable television to announce they're running for RNC chair. That's a very interesting new development, isn't it?
I think it's a great development. I think transparency is important.
Yes.
It's about time that we take things away from a small elite with a proven track record of failure and utilize all the skills and abilities and insights of this giant, wonderful party that encompasses half of the United States of America. There's so much out there for people for the base to contribute. And the leadership needs to understand that and accept that. Now, look, it doesn't mean everything's up to a Twitter poll. That's not the point. The point is that our base has an understanding of things in a way that the leadership just hasn't. And the leadership needs to get in tune with the base. And the leadership needs to demonstrate its skill and acumen in performing its functions. And then it'll get the trust that it seems to think it's entitled to simply by having gotten those sinecures.
It's well said. Kurt, how do people follow you? Buy your books? 30 seconds. Well, plug yourself.
Follow me on Twitter, at Kurt Schlichter. Go get my books. Yeah, we'll be back. That's nonfiction and Inferno. Is my latest novel. You can get that on Amazon. And always read my town hall columns every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And Thursday is going to be a barn burner. It's called Just How Stupid Can the Republicans Be? So you're going to like it.
Kurt, you're terrific. Thank you as always. Come back soon.
Thanks, Charlie.
Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. Get your tickets to America Fest today. AMFEST.com, AmFest.com. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.